And my name is Michel Demarquet. Certain of you saw me, certain never seen before. And I have to thank you very, very much to be interested on what's happened to me in June 1987. And I'm sure you're all here because you want to know more about it. I know a lot of you read the book. You are dying to ask questions. We will do the question at the end of the lecture. Don't worry, you can ask plenty of questions. Now, for those who haven't read the book at all, how many of you didn't read the book? Yeah. Good, few. Okay, so I have to start from the beginning, which was during the night. I was sleeping very quietly in my little hobby farm over there in North Queensland, when suddenly I wake and I was thinking it was the morning, you know, ready to go, fresh, like you had a good night's sleep. Then I went to the kitchen, and in the kitchen I was surprised to see it was 12:30. I dressed up. At that moment, I have to explain to you, because people don't understand really, maybe in a book. At that moment, I became like a zombie in my own house, like if I was telepathized by something, hypnotized. Then I wrote a note to my wife, "Darling, I will be away for 10 days. Oh, why did I do that? It was like two Michelle, one watching the other doing that. I put the note under the telephone. I turned around, I went under the veranda, went down there and down the stairs, and same time I call it backyard, it's not backyard, it's sort of bushy stuff behind the house because I live next to the rainforest. And I continued to walk. When suddenly under my feet, the ground became bluish, reddish, everything distorted at the light of the star. I could see the house distorted. The philodendron, which is, somebody knows, is a beautiful plant on a tree next to me, start to distort it. And I said, sort of waking up, what am I doing here? I'm sick, I want to go home. And at that precise moment, I've been lifted from the ground and passed on another dimension. At that part of the book, the translator said to me, because the book being written in French originally, and my English is not good enough to write directly in English, unfortunately. And translator say, "Michel, you should change that part of the book, because suddenly you are in your garden, after that you are sitting on a rock somewhere else." I say, "I'm very, very sorry, I prefer to explain that later, but I can't change anything in that book except the postscript, which is really what I think about it. That the rest have been forbidden to me to change one word of it. So I can't change that part, even if I don't like that part myself." So what's happened when suddenly I appear, as I say, in front of a huge human being, 10 feet high, who look at me with a smile, a transparent helmet, and say, "Oh, everything will be all right, Michel," in French, which is my own language. I say, "You must be joking, I'm dreaming, because we are in Australia, first of all, why do you speak French to me?" And she say, I say, "We speak English here," and she says, "So do I in English." So I say, "That's it, it's a dream, I'm going to fall upon a carpet, I'm dreaming, I'm in my bed." And she say, no, "You are not dreaming, we came, we don't want you to think you are dreaming at all, we came to pick you up physically, and to make you doing a trip which nobody ever done, at least on this century, on this planet." You have to remember, all of you, that sentence, because later in a lecture, we are going to use it. It's very interesting. If I don't use it, because I can forget, it's so many things to say. At the question time, you remind me about that sentence. Now, what's happened? I was in a different universe. I saw people passing a bit further in last century costume. And I say, "Who are those people?" And she said, we are in a parallel universe to Earth. Here the time stops. Those people are there for hundreds of years. If you stay here 200 years, you can go out, example, and look exactly the same age 200 years later. I didn't understand quite at that time, but I explained that, of course, in a book very, very well. The parallel universe is a sort of curse all around the planet. Now I'm going to explain to you something. The planet Earth. Everybody heard, I hope, about the Bermuda Triangle. And simply, around the planet, you have a parallel universe turning around it. And the parallel universe, if you remember the Bermuda Triangle, by the way, is a place where people say plane disappear, ship disappear, people disappear, object disappear, birds disappear. So many people say, oh yes, yes, it is the UFO, it is what they call a flying saucer, picking people and kidnapping them. It is not. It could, because it is UFO, which are different of my aliens, but it is not that. Some other people say, oh yes, it is the pyramid of Atlantis which trap people. It's also false. It is simply the parallel universe is flipping like a sheet of nylon in a wind and same time touching our universe more often on the place of that Bermuda Triangle, that place in Atlantic. It is a very well-known place. So each time if the parallel universe touches that place, it's at the same moment a ship, a plane, a human being passed, disappear and trap in a parallel universe. The parallel universe is a different dimension of our dimension. So when you go there also you are trapped, as I say already a few times, and as I talk to Tao, it's a curse, difficult, some people came out of it by accident also as they went on, and they are fortunate. Some became amnesia, they don't remember what's happened. Others came also out and they don't want to talk about it because they say, if I dare to talk about what's happened to me, everybody is going to think I'm a cuckoo. And some people even take me for a cuckoo. Do I look like a cuckoo?
I can't tell if I look so.
Yeah, good. Like the cover of the book. Okay. Now, at that moment, Tao told me that, and she said, we are going to take you for a trip, as I said before. And I said, you must be joking. What for? And she said, you are going to witness what we are going to show you with your physical body and report it in a book. I say, you must be joking, because I'm a gardener, I'm not a writer. Why don't you take a writer or a journalist? You had good writers, she says. That's a good question, because Plato was a good one, but he's dead long time ago. Victor Hugo was a good one too, but he's dead also. And the journalists are making too much of sensationalism. We need you to report word for word what you are going to witness and to put the information in a book, and we'll help you to do that. She didn't tell me at that moment why they choose me, but we'll talk about that later. By the way, before to go further, I forgot to tell you something very important. You are all here in that room, that lecture. We are going to talk about astral body, astral travel, space travel, stars, Big Bang, and so on and so on. Thousands of books have been written on that. I am sorry, but all those books are theory, which is very good, like the theory also of Darwin's theory. You have a lot of theory, plenty of theory. It's all theory. But I am here not to tell you theories, not to tell you my opinion, what I think of it, what I think that we can talk philosophically after the lecture. but I am here to tell you the truth. Also in my book it is the truth, and believe me, the truth sometimes doesn't please people. If you see a beautiful lady and you tell her you are an ugly bitch, she is going to laugh at you. But if that poor lady is ugly and you tell her she's an ugly bitch, she's going to be very, very, very hurt, because that was the truth. So people sometimes don't like to hear the truth, and even here, maybe you can be hurt sometime on my answer, because I have to tell you the truth. And for those who read my book, and so everything what is in, from the beginning to the end, I know some people have been hurt because things they thought, oh my God, I don't like to hear that. So after that, now we are going to continue the lecture. Okay, the abduction by itself, I know certain of you wanted to know how that did happen. So for me, of course, it's very, very boring because I've done that about 4,000 times. But certain of you like that part. Now, we are in a parallel universe. We are walking there, and we are going to an absolutely round spacecraft waiting for us there and shimmering, about levitating about 10 meters over the ground, their ground, that parallel universe ground. And we went there, and then at that time, I have to tell you, I've been scared, because I say, that's it. It's no more a dream, because I pinch myself, say, oh, I'm not dreaming. She laughed at me, she said, yeah, you're not dreaming. We don't want you to think you're dreaming. So I knew I was not dreaming anymore. Even she could read my mind like an open book. When I was thinking I was not going to see my family again, she just turned and said, no, you'll see your family very soon, Misha. How could she doing that? Because she was absolutely a minor reader. When I say she, it is because Tao, that extraterrestrial, looks exactly like a beautiful woman. But of course huge, it can't even fit about the side of the inside of that stuff here. And very, very smiley, yeah, 10 feet high. It's a reason for that, it is because on their planet, you didn't read the book, eh? Not yet. I can pick everybody who didn't read it. On their planet, the gravity is not like here, okay? Over there, I was 45 kilo instead of 70. So everything there is gigantic, okay? Like I say to her, if you read the book, why are you that size, you know? Normal size, I say. She say, no, it is a normal size for us, not for you, but what? Anyway, so that person, I say she, because she looks like a woman. Now, to be easier for the lecture, her name is Tao. Got a problem already. T-H-I-O. Tao. That's her name. You can pronounce whatever you want, but I pronounce it Tao. And she was my mentor from the beginning to the 9 day to the end of the 9 day. And you are going to ask me that later, so I tell you now. And she contacted me 2 more times, but only in astral and telepathically, since that's happened. Okay. Now, we are both on that spacecraft, which was no porthole, no hole, no lidar, no little green man, I'm sorry, for the science fiction people. But no lidar, and we levitate. She had this sort of apparatus, and she said, never touch me for a few seconds. She was very serious about it. I didn't understand why. It was maybe dangerous. And we simply levitate, and when I really thought I was going to bump in a spacecraft, a sort of piston went inside, and we land on a platform inside the spacecraft. And then I had a big problem with my eyes, because the colors inside were very, very strong, and I had to wear a mask. And she was telling me they were destroying my dangerous bacteria inside me, who was dangerous for them, in a calf. They were destroying it, cleaning me by the vibration, because for them they explain when it's a color is a vibration, and by vibration you've got somebody behind you. And the colors are vibration, and the vibrations do a lot of things. Vibration can heal you and even kill you, but that is another story later. Now I am in a spacecraft. I'm not going to tell you all the stuff in a spacecraft. You can read it quietly for hours. And then we went to the planet named Tiauba. Now, I'm sure about everybody in that room say there's something wrong, because we don't understand. The physicist explained to us is the galaxy and the universe so big, stars and planets are light years from us. So how Michel Demarque can go in 9 days and 8 nights at the other side of the galaxy, at billions and billions of kilometers away, and came back in such time, even at the speed of light, which is more than 380,000 kilometers per second? And you are right, because it is impossible. Is it 380,000 kilometers per second? Pardon? Oh yes, that's it. Thank you. The bad thing. So even there, you can't do that. And it's quick. You can't do that. So how did I do it? I didn't do anything. They make me doing it. Okay. Those people simply know how to transubstantiate. Maybe you never heard of the name. Don't worry, because I talked to scientists on that planet. They were interested in me. And they didn't really understand what it was either. So you have transubstantiation, which is not transformation. Everybody knows transformation. With, which means substance. Transubstantiation. I explained to you, it's very simple. That table, the building, us vibrate at the speed of light. If you have the technology to accelerate the vibration of this table or this bottle, whatever you want, take the table. You have the technology, take the board of accelerate the vibration. The board is going to disappear in front of you. That invisibility. Now, at that moment only, if you also have the technology, you can, when the board is invisible, transport that board on the moon, example. Just like that. Over there, you slow down the process, and the board reappears on the moon. That is transubstantiation. Believe me, those people do that with the entire spacecraft. We were 13 people aboard, 12 astronomers, if you want to call them astronomers, inside the spacecraft, plus me, and I didn't even feel it. But don't think it works like that. They go first at the speed of light, then they go in a space, and then very far away. Because if they do that, example, in our solar system, they blow up. Everything explodes. They would have a terrible accident. So they do that in the middle of space and reappear at the other end of the galaxy or wherever they want to reappear. But they re-slow down the process there. So finally, to tell you, if we talk about our time here on the planet, I spend about 16 of our time, our hours, in a spacecraft to go and to come back. 16 hours. Now when we arrive, excuse me 1 minute. You better stop. I have to take Steve. Steve? I'm terrible for that.
Sure.
Yeah. You put 1 minute. Later on, you're going to put that upon when I tell you. And when I tell you, you continue. Isn't that one all right? Yeah, okay. Okay. So after all that time, and 16 hours, we didn't waste any time, because Tao told me lot of things. For those who read the book, I couldn't be absent very, very much, because it's a universal law. I could die to be on planet of different category. So they had to hurry up to give me information. So we didn't stop in a spacecraft full of information. Then finally we arrived at what I wanted to call Golden Planet, because I saw on a panel, it was all television panel, there's no porthole there, and we can see, and we saw a planet coming, which was their planet named Tiahuba. Now, I wanted to call the book the Golden Planet because I call a chapter Golden Planet. It's a sort of golden mist around the planet, like you call the blue mountain here because you got a bluish mist, but that it was a golden mist. It's beautiful. Then we arrived there and I saw that, so finally we saw Zoom and we saw oceans, islands, like you, when you came with a plane on a planet. But very, very, very luminous. Then, finally, steady, we land, and on the panel, I've been very, very, very surprised, but I wasn't surprised, that I saw half egg on the ground like that. All like that. I said, what is that? You've got eggs. You don't have building on that planet. She said, it is our building. They are named on their language, Doko. Dokos, with an S if you want to. Dokos, phonetically what they call them, Doko. And she said, no, Michel, they're not eggs. They are our building. They are force field. We build a force field, and we use it as a building for anything, the sun, the rain, the wind. And it was amazing, but she says that's not important. As I said to the lady before, the importance here is the gravity. We are gigantic because we don't have the same gravity. You have two problems on our planet before we go out. The first is you are going to be unbalanced, because on Earth you were 70 kilo, and with difference of gravity you are going to jump a bit and be about 45 kilo. The second is more important. We are going to give you a mask to cut 75% of the luminosity of our planet. It was terrible. The luminosity was very, very strong, and I could be blind. So they gave me a mask, and then finally we disembark, I can say. Then I got the shock of my life, of my ego. I say, oh my God, I'm an alien here. I'm going to have a red carpet, television, journalist, and all that. Why not? Nothing, nobody. We were Tao and I. I got a shock. My ego being hurt. I'm only joking. It's true, a bit. Okay. And we walk to what I call, and they call a lativok, but I call that a flying platform. That's the shape it is. And you can sit down here, and she sat down here. It's about 10 feet, 3 meters about diameter. She took an apparatus, and we start to fly. Can I have the gravity stuff? It's one slide of gravity, anti-gravity. Is that my friend in the University of Melbourne prepare all those slides that I use them in each... We are going to make, yes, a little stop here and explain what it is. You know, a few months ago, finally, they make... some people, as you can read that, make an experiment in Finland. And as he say, my friends say all the time, many things happen by accident, many discovery on Earth. And a few months ago, that experiment was, I don't know what for, that machine, and it was in a university over there at in Finland, Tampere. A guy came in the same room they were doing the machine and smoked a pipe. Finland, the smoke pipe, here they don't do that in university. Smoked a pipe, and everybody there was amazed because, and the smoke of the pipe went on the top of the machine, stuck on the ceiling. Very fast. You can tell me the smoke go like that, but not fast like that. Shoo! That's funny. So the guy, you know this funny? Huh? Everybody say, same thing bizarre here. So they went on the floor, on the top of that, over the machine, and they've done the same thing, and the smoke went up for many floors. Many floors. On the building. Imagine that. So they suddenly look at a machine, and as you can read, that machine was making anti-gravity. It's the beginning of the discovery, anti-gravitation. Anti-gravitation, by the way, my friend went to San Francisco, Tom Schalko, who put something on the back of that book. He's a lecturer at the University of Melbourne. He went there and he told to a physicist in San Francisco in the middle of the traffic, he regretted to do that, he was scared. He told him what I told him, which to have an anti-gravity and no weight on this planet, you have the alpha ray making us weight like that. The alpha ray, if you send alpha ray against alpha ray, then you are weightless. And when he say that to that guy who is searching for 15 years about that, that scientist on the traffic almost got an accident. He said, what? And that was because I tell to Tom. So we are very hoping that guy maybe is going to make really the anti-gravity on this planet and make it work, because it's very, very interesting. I board on that platform, and you imagine when you heard, immediately it reminded me when I was there, you know, when you kid you heard about the magic carpet flying, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. Which is sometimes coming from legend, because all the extraterrestrials were coming here 10,000 years ago, whatever. So it's exactly like if you imagine it like carpet. You go there, it's almost no noise, and the platform went up, and Tao could move it, and we went 500 meters away, just like that, sliding. And we went in the first doco. The first doco was on a landing place, if you like. They'll call it for not airport, because it's not an airport, but air base for their spacecraft. And I had a second surprise of my life, or I can say maybe the 10th already. But when we went there, we went straight inside the first big doco. Remember the doco? Inside it was, of course, the base of those people commanding the airfield. And we went inside. So the doco from outside is a whitish color, whitish, like an egg. Then the surprise was, we passed through, you can feel something, it's no door. You pass through the force field. You just feel something, like a pressure, and it's finished. Then the big surprise is, when you feel that, you look around you, is no more doco. You are outside. Imagine all that building disappear. You see everything outside. It's a very simple explanation. You can't see inside, but when you are inside, they made it like that. You can see outside. It's incredible. Incredible because on the top of the doco, you can see they have a lot of big, beautiful birds. And suddenly you can see the feet of the bird, which is on the top of the doco. And you think the bird is is just like that in the sky, you know. And the bird is resting on a doko. If the bird is too big, a very big bird, pass through, scare, and he start to fly, because he can pass through. Okay, now, we're not going to go too much on that, because we have a lot more important than that. That's only materialistic, and we are here mainly for the spirituality. We went after that to my doko, which was in an island on the middle of the ocean. They have a planet with one sun. It's a bit like us, and it's not, if you like. First of all, the colors are, you can call, monochromatic. Instead to have colors like we have, everything is mixed up, the monochromatic, and everything seems to be lightened inside, like you see a leaf of a tree and you think the light is inside the leaf of the tree. Very difficult to explain, as I say, the book's very difficult, but it is absolutely magic and beautiful. The only problem I had was the luminosity. For our eyes, earthly people, the luminosity is too strong, and as I explained, I find it for the first time in my life, I find it because of the beauty of the color and luminosity one time. But I'm going much too fast. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Now, first of all, we took the platform and we went to my doko. That's just what I tell you. But I have to tell you something. I've been surprised because I start to meet people there, a few people at the airspace, and everybody, first of all, looks like very, very happy, but everybody looks the same age, about 22, 23, is a good age. So I was wondering, and of course Tao reading my mind all the time, say, yes, Michel, it looks like that because we prefer to look young, and we have a secret and the knowledge of regenerating ourselves at will.
Could you stop for a second?
We flew, as I tell you, we passed over the sea with always that flying platform. I saw beautiful bird, we passed through the forest and finally the ocean, and we went to what we call, she call, I call, my doko. It was a doko that, like that. By the way, everybody saw that doko we show at the beginning. Everybody understand that photograph have been, can you show the doko again? That photograph have been taken by NASA on the hidden face of the moon. I know, you know, hidden face of the moon is alien space, alien bases for very long time ago, for thousands of years. And it is very interesting because, as you see, that photograph is by the NASA, the American. Yesterday on television, her name, Kirianne, told me I should talk to NASA, by the way. If I had time, I could tell her that, because that's not me, that NASA. It's very, very interesting, that photograph, because Tom find it, you know. Now they take it very secret, but at that time it was a leaking and somebody pinched that photograph, because it's exactly, almost exactly, what the doko looks, you know. You can see, like I told you there, they say it's like a half egg, okay. So I had my doko was like that, okay, half egg this way, huge from here to the other end of the room. Okay, the detail you have them in a book for inside what it is. You got a relaxation place and so on and so on, even a mini swimming pool if you like. And they take, by the way, the water, it came from the air, they transform the air in water. They have tremendous technology. I was all the time amazed. But we were there for a little while when suddenly we heard laughing, etc. And all the crew from the spacecraft came and joined us. And I was amazed that you didn't have a spacesuit anymore. They were all in robes. Everybody on that planet wear robes. About coming about middle of the legs, robes. And full of colors. Full of colors. Different colors, all on wine like that. Very beautiful. Same time different to the neighbor, and same time almost the same. And I've been told, can I have the aura please? I've been told they wear those clothes because the clothes are match with their aura. I didn't quite understand that at that moment. So they all came and we were talking, having a bit of hydromel, as I explained what it is in the book. That drink they have, pretty good. The food is no good, but the drink good. And we had having a good time for a while, and I don't know how we... Oh yes, I remember now. They made levitate the glasses and everything, just like that. And I was open mouth, and as usual, and suddenly Tao herself say, oh, I'm going to show you something, but she knew what she was doing, of course, each time it was for a reason, you'll see later, and she start to levitate, you know, cross legs like that, a levitation, she levitated, she went right up on the top of the doko, so I was... And suddenly I look around me and nobody was looking at Tao. Everybody was looking at me, having a very good time, because I looked of course like an idiot. For them it was absolutely normal, and for me, because you heard about yogis levitating, yeah, but you never seen them. And I never seen them either. And when I saw that person levitating, I was very amazed. Okay, then everybody went, and I went and I slept in that doko, and the next morning, Tao came to me, and I had my bath and everything, and I had the suit they gave me, they built specially for my size, space suit, and she told me to not wearing it, and she gave me a robe at my size. Then I had another surprise, I wear the robe, and I almost fainted. I was almost like a drunk, like if you drink two bottles of wine for a few seconds. She said, don't worry, it'll be alright in a few moments. What's going on? She said, no, it's simple. It's a very simple mission. We give you that robe, and we build that robe, and the color of the robe being match with your aura. Can you see the aura of that guy? It's the first photograph we can start to do a bit of same thing on this planet with the aura. It's the first step. Don't worry, it's not, unfortunately, it's not a very, very good photograph. First step. That one is a bit better. Yeah. So, she explained that to me, and I was amazed. I didn't really understand what she was talking about. She said, Michel, if on your planet you could read the aura, not only see the aura, but read the aura, you would use less Panadol and less medication, because you could use the aura to know to how to match the colors of your suit, example, your dress, whatever, your room, and you will be in much better health. But what is the aura? Many people still don't know what is the aura. The aura is simply... Okay, this is the first step, it's very, very bad photograph. But the aura is simply the emission of rays coming from the chakra. Here, you can see that guy got that chakra, which on the top of the crown is pineal gland. That chakra is a bouquet, we call. That's the second chakra. Here, third, the photograph has been moved here. Third, four, five, six, seven. Okay. Those chakras give an emission. We are going to talk about that a bit more later, because for the moment I want to be nice with you and give you quick something else. You're waiting for it. Or you don't. That's what happened with the robe she gave me. I was so happy with that robe. Incredible. By the way, we got a little stop here to tell you, my friend in Melbourne at the university with interrogating me, asked me question about that famous robe, made that shirt. That shirt exists. By the way, I got it. I'm not going to undress for you, but I got one here under my, and give me a lot of energy. Believe me, I can't sleep with it. That is with the chakra. We'll talk about it later. He's done that and of course made a photo montage and put that new cover, but this shirt is a sort of things working and working on this planet now with the chakra and the color. It's 14 different monochromatic color. But he's a scientist. He's done it. He's done it in Melbourne. Now, that's why that shirt is very brilliant here. That's the work with the aura. Now, aura. Remember, I am in my doko. I wear my robe. I don't want to confuse you. I wear my robe. I'm so happy. She laughs again. Oh my God, she said, etc. And she tell me about the Panadol and all that stuff. And she said, now we have to hurry up because they're waiting for us. I said, who is waiting for us? I didn't dare to ask. And here we go. We embark on that platform, flying platform. And we went to the ocean again. And very, very fast, that platform can make a force field around it. You can't even feel the breeze. And we went to what she called the city of the nine doko, which is dokos like that, very big doko, this form, and we went there. Then we walk, and finally we stop on the front of a big doko. And then Tao, who is always, always very happy, very easygoing, was suddenly very serious. And I say, oh my God, why she changed like that, you know? It's very, very bizarre because she doesn't laugh anymore, she doesn't joke. And she said, Michelle, I'm going to... She sort of stopping just like that on the front of the doko. And she says, no door at the doko, but you have a light where you can cross, like that you don't bump on something behind because you can't see. So that's what it is. And she stopped there and she sort of concentrate. She said, you are going to close your eyes for the luminosity. I'm going to take your mask off and we are going to come in. I was very intrigued. And I've done what she said. She took my mask off and I felt she lead me by the shoulders. Of course, she's like that. So she take my shoulder like a kid. And we walk, my eyes closed. I could feel the force field of the doko. And I knew we were in, but I was very, very intrigued, say what's going on here. And we walk and finally she said, you can open your eyes now. I opened my eyes and you have to remember that. And I saw what I thought it was, seven statues in front of me in a sort of semicircle on the front of the doko. Everybody can hear me there? It's okay? Thank you. You have to tell me because with my accent and everything, and if you want to come on the front, it's okay? And
it's difficult to hear and to see better on this side and hear better on that side.
Yeah. You want to come here?
I see the screen there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't go there because I want to show you a lot of things. But if you want to come here, it's good. Because it's more work here than there. There it's almost finished. And I look at there and it was seven statues, all wearing the famous robes, all sitting on different color seats, all also with different colors, very important. And I was wondering what I was doing there, because also I wasn't sure if they were statues, and they were not. They were the seven master of the planet. nothing to do with John Howard, they're not politicians.